I think this is the first time that we've had so many European and American war criminals this close to The Hague. So, you know, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. I grew up during the Iraq War. I mean, I grew up during several wars, to be honest. You know, they love doing them. But I remember the propaganda was so bad. And when it comes to The Hague, the United States even has a law that's nicknamed the Hague Invasion Act. This was passed during the Bush administration. I don't know if you know this. They have a law in the United States that they will invade the Netherlands if any American or ally of the United States is ever tried at The Hague. Right? So it's not a very nice way to treat your allies, but I thought you should know that. You have to love American diplomacy. There's nothing like U.S. diplomacy, right? It was Nixon who famously said, we'll bomb them to the negotiating table. So if you don't do what we tell you, we're going to kill you. And if you do it, we might still kill you anyway. That's kind of the strategy that they've been adopting recently. I mean, they lied to the Russians about not expanding NATO, and then they expanded NATO. And then they lied about the Minsk agreements. And it's not just the lying, it's they're very proud of their lying. Merkel and Hollande, who then go on record and say, yes, we lied. We lied, we cheated, we stole, right? Like their master, Mike Pompeo. They lied to the Iranians during the JCPOA. They imposed a deal on Iran and then walked away from their own deal. And then when they were trying to get the Americans back, I was covering this in Vienna, the Israelis go and bomb their nuclear facility. And that's actually the reason Iran went to 60% enriched uranium, which they don't tell you. Now, we saw the same thing again 2 weeks ago. What did they do? They pretended to negotiate with the Iranians, and then they go and bomb them. So there's always bombing involved in U.S. diplomacy. They lied about peace talks again with Russia. You know, Boris Johnson went and sabotaged them in Istanbul in Turkey. And then Donald Trump says, I'm going to end the war in Ukraine. And he lied about that, too. And every single step of the way, all of the diplomacy involves lying. There is no diplomacy. We shouldn't worry too much, though, because it's not a war with Iran. It's a war with Iran's nuclear program. You know, like the Japanese didn't declare war on the United States, they declared war on Hawaii. And whoever flew the planes into the Twin Towers was just attacking the Twin Towers, not America. So there's nothing to worry about. And the Secretary General of NATO said just a few days ago that he thinks bombing Iran is perfectly legal under international law. And he also said, I don't know if you heard this, but he said almost word for word that, you know, we should all be ready to suffer and die. Well, go on, mate. I mean, after you. You know, if Keir Starmer wants to start raising an army in England, which is what we're seeing right now, I'll go into the trenches and die when he puts on a uniform and goes first, okay? He wants to go and get some minerals from Ukraine? Go on. Go and get your kids and dress them up in battle fatigues and pick up a rifle and we'll follow you when you do that, all right? We like to talk about democracy, but monarchies had the, you know, they had one good thing that the king always has to be in the front. When you start a war, you have to go fight it yourself. So, honestly, the only NATO... You know, they talk about Iran having a nuclear program, and this is one of the topics I know the best. I'm telling you, there's no nuclear weapons program. They just don't have one. And all these things, from the ICC to the ICJ to the IAEA to the OPCW, the World Bank, the IMF, unfortunately, all of these associations and groups and organizations, they exist for one purpose only, which is to uphold Western hegemony. And that's what NATO is. NATO is basically the stick, and those are kind of the carrots. But either way, there's always a stick involved. Now, they keep repeating the slogan about NATO being a defensive alliance, and I am having a tough time understanding this, and maybe you can help me with that. If NATO is a defensive alliance, what are we defending against? Because during my entire life, there's been no Soviet Union, there's been no Warsaw Pact. So who is the enemy? Are we fighting aliens? What's going on? How is it defensive when you're bombing a country on the other side of the planet? How is it defensive for the United States to attack Iraq, but Iran can't defend its allies, its neighbors? You know, your neighbors, that's not self-defense, but on the other side of the planet, that's self-defense. Tell me, is Yugoslavia better off? Is Iraq better off? Is Syria better off? Is Afghanistan better off? Everywhere NATO goes, it kills people. Everything it touches, it sucks the life out of it. It murders people. It creates millions of refugees. It breaks apart families. It kills people's dreams. It has brought nothing but death and destruction. And it's not bad enough that they're murdering people in our name. Now they want us to pay for it, too. They want to raise everybody's contribution from 2.5 to 5%. The shareholders at the arms companies need to make more money, and we have to pay for it. NATO is a protection racket. You know, when the mafia come to you and say, you need to get protection or someone will throw a brick through your window, they're talking about themselves. That's what NATO's doing. It's an international protection racket. It's what mafias do on the block, okay? That's exactly what it is. It's nothing more. It's a way for the Americans to make money. And when they go and topple the government, they destroy the infrastructure, and then they dress up a new security force with American boots and American guns and American helmets like toy soldiers, and everyone is making a good buck over in Wall Street. That's what it's about. Now, I'll tell you I'll tell you one more thing. How is it that we have given billions of dollars to Ukraine and they're not winning the war? Because they keep saying that, we just have to give them this aid package. We just need to pass these sanctions on Russia. How is that defensive, exactly? Because it seems that even the diplomacy at play here, which is negotiated and orchestrated in collaboration and close cooperation with NATO, it's like shooting ourselves in the foot. How is allowing your ally to blow up Nord Stream a good idea or an acceptable idea, and the cover-up that ensued after that? What kind of an alliance is that, where your friends come and blow up your energy infrastructure? I mean, this is beyond madness. This is beyond criminal negligence. There's something really, really, really wrong over here. And how is it defensive when you're allowing Israel to commit genocide, to steal land in the West Bank, to steal land in the Golan Heights, to steal land in Jerusalem, to steal land from Lebanon? What is defensive about that? Because remember, the United States provides the majority of the weapons. Next is Germany, and next is the UK. And those weapons are murdering children. They're murdering women. They're murdering men. They're killing people for sport at these aid distribution sites. They're telling them, come and get aid. And people are going out of starvation, out of necessity, and then they're blowing their brains out. They're killing them for sport, for game. What is defensive about that? Why are our weapons, why are these things being built over here and then shipped over there? There's something deeply, deeply messed up and wrong about this. And I'll tell you that Palestine Action, now being threatened, the Home Secretary is threatening to proscribe them. How dare she? The real terrorists are the ones wearing suits. The real terrorists work at Whitehall. The real terrorists are in Downing Street. You're going to tell me that spraying paint, is terrorism. Being a journalist is terrorism, but blowing up children is not terrorism. That's just, you know, security. These people have the entire planet upside down. Everything is upside down with them. When they say defense, they mean offense. When they say security, they mean insecurity. When they say allies, they mean their overlords. When they talk about us being terrorists, it's projection. They're talking about themselves. That's their conscience out loud, trying to project their guilt onto us. And we're not going to have it. And I'll tell you that this dangerous escalation we're seeing right now with Iran, with the Israelis bombing them and the United States bombing them, NATO is stoking a fire now, a second nuclear fire, not just in Ukraine, but also in the Middle East. What on earth is defensive about that? How is it defensive when you send drones at the Kremlin? If you suggested that, if you were a CIA officer or someone working in the US government in the Cold War and you said, let's go bomb the Kremlin, you'd be fired on the spot. You would be fired in the Cold War for saying something like that, because it's madness. We had better diplomats and more rational human beings running NATO in the Cold War than we do today. That is how low we have sunk. That is how crazy these people are. They're goddamn nuts. They have lost the plot. They have destroyed Europe's industry with sanctions. In Germany, in France, in the Netherlands, in the UK, gas prices are through the roof. Everyone is suffering. These people have lost the plot. They're goddamn insane. And the inmates are running the asylum. That's what's going on. That's what's going on. The inmates are running the asylum. And I'll say this very clear. Everywhere NATO goes, they kill people. Everything NATO touches turns to death. Death to NATO. Death to NATO. Death to NATO. Hands off the Middle East. Hands off of China. Hands off Iran. Hands off of Russia. Pack up your bases and go home.
Thank you, Richard.
Oh, and before I forget, if you have seen this man, we're looking for a war criminal called Keir Starmer, okay? If you see him in the city, let me know. We'll take him over to The Hague. Thank you.
Will do.